Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
About a week ago, I got a phone call, and I answered it, and a voice on the other end of the line said, "Bro." I said, "Oh no, what does my brother have for me now?" He says, "Bro." He says, "I just saw the most incredible movie." He says, "When you come for Thanksgiving this next week, we are going to sit down and we are going to watch this movie." And I said, "Okay, that sounds pretty good." He says, No. "We have to watch this movie." He says, "It has action, but it's not cheesy. It has great storytelling and great characters. You have to watch this movie with me." I said, "Great, great. What movie is it?" He goes, "Oh, I'm not going to tell you." He says, "This is going to be a surprise. You are going to love this movie. This is right up your alley." I said, "Great, sounds good, buddy. We'll watch it together. Looking forward to it." And I hung up the phone. 3 days later, this was about 2 days before Thanksgiving, he calls me. He says, "Hey, you guys are coming over tomorrow, right? You guys are making your way over to Bellingham?" I said, "Yes." He says, "I cannot wait to sit down and watch this movie with you." And we repeated the process again and again. So we finally make it to, all the way over to Bellingham. And it's hard now because he has two little girls. I have Epperly. And this idea that we once could just go and do whatever we wanted on a holiday, that time has passed us, right? And so hung out with the girls. He recently had surgery, so he's kind of laid up on the couch right now. We're playing with the girls. They go to bed, and he says, "You want to watch the movie?" I said, "Yeah, I really actually do want to watch the movie. I'm pretty excited about it." He says, "Okay, great. And he sat down, and he hides it, you know, and he puts it into the DVD player, and he says, "I present to you Dune. It's a new movie." And the anticipation, the excitement building up to this great reveal was suddenly completely doused. Because I realized that two nights before I came to Bellingham, I watched Dune by myself at the house. I already knew the characters. I already knew all of their secrets. I knew the plot twists in the film. And most importantly, I knew how the story would end. And today is the first Sunday of Advent. We're talking about hope. And it's supposed to be a time of preparation, a time of excitement leading up to when we celebrate Christ's birth. And this week, we're supposed to be excited about hope. But I can't help but think that we sometimes approach Advent like we've already seen the movie. We know the characters. We know the plot. And we know how the story ends. So how do we get excited about Advent if we've already essentially seen the film? How do we find hope in a story that we've heard a thousand times? How do we build real anticipation for a movie we've already seen? The question I want to ask this morning, perhaps more directly, is this: how do we experience Advent as real hope and not just a seasonal theme that we observe? Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now, if you were following along for the Advent reading in our bulletin, that's normally where our scripture is located. And so I kind of freaked out. I thought I had to find, if you saw me running around here looking for a Bible, well, Pastor Steve fit it on the other side of the bulletin. Now, if you don't believe that God is still at work and miracles happen today, all you have to do is look at all the information Pastor Steve is able to get on a bulletin, and you will believe. So you will find our scripture reading here. the back of the Advent reading here where it says, fruit of the Spirit, hope. And this is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, or you can follow along on the screen behind me. Paul says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. I want to explore how real hope can be experienced this Advent season by looking at three points. And the first point is this. Real hope is experienced in the Advent season when we recognize that the war is over. In verse 1, Paul says, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of Jesus Christ, we are now in right relationship with God, and Paul says that we have peace with God. Now, if we have peace with God, well, that means that we were once at war with Him. And that might be a difficult concept for us to understand because we've become so accustomed to talking about grace. And that's as it should be. In fact, I'm a little hesitant to be constantly talking about sin because I believe that that sometimes can be a little bit unhelpful. I'm not one to dwell on sin. I don't generally find that it's a good use of our time, and neither should you. But from time to time, it is helpful, even instructive, to remember who we once were. That we were once a people, we were once individuals that were at war with God. We were His enemies. In verse 10 of our chapter, Paul will say, we were once enemies of God. In an old life, a life that isn't actually that far removed from us, we fought against God's loving pursuit of our hearts. God has loved us from the moment He created us, and from the moment that we were born, we have been pushing and pushing and pushing against that love. And yet God, in His love and His grace, continually seeks us out. We dug trenches of pride and self-sufficiency and aimed our weapons of mass deception at God and said, I don't need you. I don't want your love. Chaos and brokenness are the home I choose. This is who we used to be, enemies of God. And sometimes we struggle to leave that old life behind. I was recently reading an article or an interview of a soldier who at the age of 18 joined the military and was sent off to Afghanistan and Iraq. And he did something like 6 tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, basically from the age of 18 to about the age that I am now, 35. He served in the military and was either stationed in a combat zone in Afghanistan and Iraq. And recently, as you well know, we pulled out of Afghanistan. The war in Iraq has been over for some time. And the writer of this article was interviewing the soldier, and she asked the soldier, so what's next? And his answer was interesting. He says, honestly, I have no idea. Because from the time I was 18, all I have known is war. I don't know how to live a life of peace. It scares me. I don't know what it is I'm going to do. And as we enter Advent, I wonder if we also must learn to live a life of peace with God. How many of us also struggle to leave behind the battlefields of our past, those places in our hearts where we were once at war with God. I want you to think about what those battlefields were. What have they been? Maybe you're fighting them now, today. You find yourself on the cusp of experiencing peace with God, but you just can't quite make it there. There's something that's standing in your way of fully grasping and fully living into this new life of peace that God has called you to. You are still living as if the war is being fought. Perhaps our Advent hope should come from a joyous realization that that war is over. The birth of Jesus Christ, God's incarnation, His coming into the world is a declaration of God's victory. Put your weapons down. It's over. Go home to your Father, and He is waiting there for you. And He wants to place His ring on your finger. And He wants to throw a great party in your honor. The hope of Advent season is a hope that is realized. A hope that we actually experience. When I was a boy, 10, 11 years old, I was obsessed with history of World War II. And so I took every opportunity, which was a lot. My mother worked in a nursing home. And so I took every opportunity to speak with individuals from the greatest generation of their experience of World War II. And I remember talking to an older woman who was about 16 during World War II. And I asked her, "What do you remember most about the war?" She says, "Well, to be honest with you, I was a teenager. I knew about the war. I knew that friends had gone off overseas, and I knew about the battles being fought because I heard about them on the radio when my parents listened to the radio at night. But for the most part, I don't really remember specific things." She says, "Except one thing." She says, "I remember where I was and what I was doing when we first heard the news that the war was over. And I remember getting in the back of my dad's pickup truck, and we drove into town, and everyone was in the streets, and everyone was in their cars, and we were simply driving around, and my dad was just honking the horn over and over and over again as we cheered in the back of the truck." She says, "I remember that moment because it was so hopeful." Her moment was so hopeful because it was realized. For 4, 6, 8 years, depending on where you live, you hoped for the end of this war. And now, in this moment, here it was. It's over. You don't have to fight anymore. In a very similar way, the hope of Advent is a realized hope. It is simultaneously a deep longing for a better future and an experience of that same future. Real hope is experienced in the Advent season when we recognize that the war is over. The second point we come to is this: real hope is experienced in the Advent season when we live into the calling that God has given us. In verse 2 of our passage this morning, Paul says, "We confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." We get to share in God's glory because the victory that Jesus Christ has won for us invites us into that glory. And what is the glory of God? Well, for Jesus Christ, the glory of God is to fulfill the task that God has given him. God has given him the task of reconciling you and I to him, that we might be freed from our sins and called to a life of obedience and grace and trust, the good life that God has provided for us. And Jesus has won that victory on our behalf. Christ has fulfilled the calling that God gave to him. As a consequence of that victory, God calls us to fulfill the life of peace that is ours. God has given Christ a calling, and in that victory, he extends that calling to us as well. We are called to live into the life that God has given us. Maybe the hope of the Advent season for you is that you would live into that calling. I don't know what that calling is specifically for you. Sometimes I have a hard time figuring out what that calling is for me. It's not always clear, but it's there. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God calls each and every one of us to respond to his grace in unique ways every single day of our life. And sometimes I wonder that we miss out on the hope of Advent, the hope of the Christmas season, by rejecting that calling. By setting it aside for a moment and say, you know what? I'll pick that up in the new year. I'll add it to my list of New Year's resolutions. And in the process of pushing that calling aside, we miss out on the true, real hope that God calls us to experience. And so my challenge to you this morning is, how are you going to live into that hope? How are you going to tune your ears and tune your eyes to the calling that God has placed in your life? Because living into that calling is a great source of realized, real hope for each of us. Real hope is experienced in the Advent season when we live into the calling God has given us. And the third point is this: real hope is experienced in the Advent season when we learn to hold on to it in the face of trials and hardship. Paul has just told us that the victory is ours. God has conquered sin in Jesus Christ. He has called us to a new life, and in that new life, we experience real hope. But someone could come to Paul and say, but Paul, what about my illness? What about my son or daughter who's struggling with addiction? What about my parent who is dealing with cancer and we're slowly watching them slip away before our eyes? What about the loss of my child? What about the broken relationship in my life? Where is hope in that? Paul is not oblivious to our pain. He himself lived a life of suffering and hardship, and he recognizes that these are realities in our lives. But Paul believes, because of Jesus Christ, that hope is found there too. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And he says this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. There are so many sources of deep disappointment in our lives. And we try again and again and again to ease that disappointment by grasping onto things that truly can't satisfy. Our careers, our money, our relationships, our ability to plan things out perfectly so that no problem ever arises. I mean, imagine whatever it is in your life that you're holding on to, that you're hoping doesn't disappoint. It probably will. It probably will. And we know this from experience. There are so many sources of deep disappointment in our lives. Failed marriages, broken relationships, jobs that don't work out, people that promise who will always be in our lives suddenly aren't there. You name it. We all have these disappointments. Friends, the hope of Jesus Christ is not one of them. This hope will not lead to disappointment. We were at war with God, and in his grace, in his mercy and in his love, he claimed us again and again and again in his love and his discipleship through the power of His Holy Spirit, He made us, adopted us as His children. That is a hope that does not disappoint. The hope we have is rooted in the assurance of God's love, an assurance that we will celebrate on Christmas morning. And so we are called in this season of preparation, this Advent season, to remember that that hope, it is secure. And we prepare through for that hope in so many ways, but it begins with recognizing the war is over. Live into your calling, and even in your hardship, God will not disappoint. As we close this morning, I want to do so by pointing out something that may seem a little bit odd to you. The title of our sermon today is The Fruit of the Spirit, Hope. Well, when you look at the past, hope is not a fruit of the Spirit. Your pastors are lying to you. But if you think about it, hope is perhaps maybe the greatest gift of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit enters into our lives, it comes to us and it taps us on the shoulder and it says, hey, listen, put down your weapons. The war is over. You are loved. And Christ will not disappoint. Let us hold on to that gift of the Spirit as we enter into this Advent season. Let us pray. God, in your love and in your mercy, you extend to us your hope. A hope that does not disappoint, Lord. And so, God, as we prepare, Lord, in this Advent season to celebrate the gift of your Son, the Incarnation, Jesus, the child in a manger, we do so, Lord, with the understanding that the hope that we have is a realized hope. It is a hope, Lord, that declares, yes, Lord, the war is over. You have won us. You have called us to new life. Let us live into that hope, Lord, a hope that does not disappoint. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.